know you're broken hearted, cause the peace you're hoping for is off the scenes apart. Thoughts and feelings often disregarded. So
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBoard.com. I am Robert Rosenthal. This is a very special group episode where we are introducing the third podcast, which is going to be called The Boardroom, and it's going to be basketball centric. And we have a basketball season, 2 weeks away now, even though we don't know the schedule. And so tonight's probably a good time. You know, I hear the fan base might be thinking a little more about basketball than football these days. And so maybe we should get into some basketball. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to do it, of course, in the way I know how, which is talking about football. So I'm going to, this is the origin story of the Boardroom podcast and how it happened. And what it dates back to is a trip to the Michigan State game last season. So the Michigan State football game, the comeback. So after Eastern Michigan, I booked this trip for my friend Carmen and I. Carmen, I have had on podcasts before years ago. Carmen and I go back. What do we go back to, Carmen? 94?
94, probably.
94, yes. He was the roommate of a guy I went to high school with. Carmen and I found that we were both big Illini fans. We were both students, and so we started hanging out. We started traveling to games. I stole his Illinois football shirt in 97 when we went to Dallas on a trip together, I believe.
I dented your Sunfire,
yes,
in 95.
That's right. That's right. And we, let's see, did we go to Liberty Bowl together? No, we didn't go to Liberty Bowl. Yeah. I went with Brian to Liberty Bowl. We went to Micron PC Bowl together.
Yes.
Carmen and I went to the bowl game last year together. You know, when there's a, when we were, had a chance to win the Big Ten title in basketball, Carmen and I went to the Ohio State basketball game last year together. So, he and I are the call each other and dude, we have to be there. Let's just go, which he did this week. Asking if he could go to Rutgers with me. I am on Friday morning driving 12 hours to Rutgers to watch 0-3 Illinois football, one of the 10 worst teams in the country, play Rutgers as a 6.5-point underdog. And unfortunately, because of COVID, no, Carmen cannot come with me because I'm not going to risk my press pass on a buddy from 25 years ago. So let's just get to this.
Can I just drive with you for the 12 hours and talk
sports?
I mean,
you can. I have to get like COVID tested and everything. So are you willing to mask up and sit in the very back or something?
I might be available.
Okay. Yes. What else do you have going on besides?
Nothing.
Wanting to see Isaiah Williams if he starts. So anyway, Carmen and I made plans to go on this trip. We invited this group of guys. When did I invite you guys? After the Michigan game, after we saw each other at CAMS. So it's basically Carmen and I are this, you know, crazy, just screw it, we're going to the game. And then this group of guys who were, 25 years younger than Carmen and I are basically the younger version of that. And so I thought it'd be pretty cool if all of us went to the Michigan State game together, not knowing that it would be what it was and that we would gain bowl eligibility and everything else. So the way you're going to get to know the guys who are hosting the Boardroom is to go back through like who they are and how this whole trip came about and that how that led to this podcast. So Josh, I'm gonna start with you since you and I had communicated about it. So Carmen and I both flew, so let's just start with you talking about how you guys did it, how you got together in Chicago, that you drove. We're just going to go minute by minute through the weekend of what it was like to be there. And that starts with however you guys got there. So I'll let you take it. This is Josh.
Yep. Well, thank you, Carmen. Thank you, Robert, for having us on.
I mean, really, thank Carmen. That's really who is.
I mean, I'm all beyond thanks nervous. To Carmen. I'm beyond nervous right now, so it doesn't matter.
That's fine.
But thank you for having us be the Boardroom. We're very excited. So yeah, we've been, So me, Sam, Maor, and Johnny have been, we were in the same pledge class in a fraternity. Let's call him Matthew. And we were in the same pledge class for our fraternity and have been friends ever since. We were like the four friends who were obsessed with Illinois sports and no one else really cared about Illinois sports. Was part of Orange Crush and Black Eye. Some of us lean more on the football side than basketball side, but it's pretty 50-50. There's obviously just more talk to talk about football. So how this weekend got together, we all met up in Chicago. Bricker came down to Sam, Johnny, and I's apartment. Moore met us there as well, and we drove Friday night before the game, got a hotel room, and met Robert Saturday morning. Ready to tailgate.
That's right. That's right. So let's get everybody's voices established here so that people know. So Johnny, you're up next. You get to say who you are. Say, hi, I'm Johnny.
Hey, guys, I'm Johnny.
I'm known for a viral tweet about baseball.
Yes.
And then Maddie, you next. Identify your voice.
What's up, everyone? This is Maddie. Quite frankly, I can't believe that this is actually happening right now, that we're filming or we're recording a podcast. So
that's right.
Thank you, Robert, for allowing this to happen. So excited to see where this goes.
Yes, exactly. Sam, you're up next. Identify your voice.
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm not sure how my voice is going to sound, so I'm interested to hear how it sounds listening back on this.
It's fantastic. And then Bricker, you're last, so you get to speak now too.
And I'm the less important Sam, who will join on occasion to chime in and join these guys. Thanks for having us.
I like it.
We definitely will have Sam on multiple times.
Excellent. Good. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go through the day. So we get up. Carmen and I got into town late Friday night. And again, when we booked this trip, it was after Eastern Michigan. So we're thinking like, this is stupid. And then suddenly we won three games in a row. And so we're sitting at 5-4 all of a sudden and thinking like, I mean, it's possible we walk out of there bowl eligible and everything else. So Carmen and I got in Friday night, into the hotel. We get up, we meet all of us at breakfast, right? So we decide we're going to tailgate like all day. So we set this up with Jack and Antonio, and we are going to join them at their tailgate. And so we have our breakfast in the hotel, and we all get to know each other, right? I mean,
wait, Robert.
Yes.
Robert, I quickly want to mention the expectations going into the weekend from a fan perspective. So yes. We're 5-4 in football, and then we have the Grand Canyon basketball game Friday night that we're all watching from our car on the way there.
That's right.
And then we play Arizona on Sunday. So if going into it Friday night, if all goes well, we probably have a 10-20 ranked Illini basketball team.
You're right.
A bowl eligible game.
Yes, I forgot that because Carmen and I were watching, like when Carmen went to my gate after his plane landed and he was sitting there watching the Grand Canyon game. So I land, there's like 6 minutes left. We sat there and watched the end of the Grand Canyon game until we finally put it away, and it was kind of a little sketchy there and everything else. And then we headed to the hotel. Anyway, so I'm getting way off. So we stay in the hotel.
Don't get way off because we thought, do we go to Grand Canyon, Arizona basketball game and not go to Michigan State?
That's correct.
Us crazy guys will be like, let's go to the Grand Canyon game, fly to Michigan State, see the Michigan State game, fly back to Arizona, and really make it an epic trip.
Met people on Saturday that did exactly that.
Did
basketball, football, basketball, which is kind of a dream. But we watched Grand Canyon. We win. We stay in the hotel, we get up, we all have breakfast, then we hop in a couple Ubers, or was it one Uber? Did we all get in one Uber? I don't remember.
No, it was a couple.
It was two.
Because we were dropped off right by Breslin, right? No, we were dropped off in two different spots, I think.
Well, we were staying in Lansing, so we had to make the, intense trip from Lansing to East Lansing.
That's right.
From town to town, the Twin Cities, as they call them there.
Uh-huh.
So we had to make our way from one city to the other in order to actually get to the stadium.
That's right. So we get dropped off by Breslin. We talk, I guess we kind of wandered around campus, didn't we? Because we didn't exactly know where we were going. I'd never been to Michigan State. So we wander around and we find our friends who we were going to tailgate with, which was nice. We had, like, they hooked us up. They set up, they had the tent, they had the grill, they had the breakfast already made, they had everything else. So this was full day tailgate. And really, like, I don't know. I got the sense at the time that maybe Michigan State fans, at least, you know, the ones who would wander up the tailgate and talk, were a little bit like, you know, I've been to enough road tailgates where everybody just kind of feels sorry for you. Like, oh, we're going to kill you today. So it's like, sorry you came all this way to watch that. But I think there was at least a little respect of, like, you know, they were really struggling. Here we are, 5-4, 1-3 in a row. Maybe we do have something. That was my memory of that morning, is that we actually might have something, like, you know, like, hey, people maybe respect us for the first time ever. And as it turned out, we did win. And as it turned out, we haven't won since. But I'm talking too much. So what are your guys' memories of tailgate, what we did, the lead up to the game?
I think I just remember on the way to the tailgate when we were trying to find each other, we got dropped off in a weird spot. I remember the group, whoever I was with, we walked by the football stadium and they had this banner that said, like, 2015 Big Ten champs, college football playoff, with the college football playoff logo. And I just remember thinking, oh boy, we are knee deep now. But yep. Yeah, that was kind of like my first memory, realizing, like, oh my God, we're actually playing for a bowl game right here.
Yeah. And
was
I had
this
the
your
same...
first road trip. Was this your guys' first football road trip?
I went to football. Yeah. Josh, had you been to a couple already?
I went to the Illinois Michigan game in Ann Arbor.
We've done Purdue right the weekend before, right?
And then we did go to Purdue the weekend before the Michigan State game. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. In the rain, you sent a picture in the rain. That was 2 weeks before, because Rutgers was the weekend
Rutgers.
Before.
Oh, well, yeah, yes. That was supposed to be a trap game.
Yes. Yes. And
nice.
Was for a half.
For a half.
Uh huh. What prompted the Purdue road trip?
We were playing with house money there.
Yeah. Beat Wisconsin, roll with it.
Exactly. I remember on the way back, I was telling Johnny and Sam, saying, like, there's no positive outcome no matter what happened, like, because of the rain, because we won the game, but, like, we didn't feel good inside. We had to make the 3-hour drive back in just drenched clothes. We had no change of clothes.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, it was never going to be the best road trip ever, but it had potential to be the worst one had we
exactly.
lost.
Which is why you do any Illinois football road trip.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I was flying home from a conference during the game, and so I wasn't able to actually watch it. And so I told them, do not text me, do not call me. I turned off notifications on every single application. No ESPN, no Bleacher Report, no nothing. I'm watching the game, and at halftime, I get an email from Illinois Athletics saying, Illinois football beats Purdue. And I go, unbelievable.
Oh,
out of
God,
every
I
notification
that
can possibly email alerts me, you know, we're up, whatever, 17-0 at halftime. So I'm like, whatever. But I, you know, here I am 7 hours deep into no social media, which was probably my record in you know, a decade.
And it still gets spoiled.
And it still gets spoiled, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm so jealous that these guys got to see that game in person.
Yep. And so then we beat Rutgers after being, like, tied at halftime. So now we're on a roll. We're thinking we're something. We decide to go. We talk that whole tailgate about, like, what if and maybe and who knows, and, like, if we walk out of here bowl eligible, we're burning this place down. And so then, I mean, that's enough. We can get to the game, because that's where all the stuff. I guess we did stop by the tailgate.
And I guess, yeah, just to cut you off, what was perfect about the tailgate was it was a 3:30 game.
Yep.
So 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. So we leave the hotel maybe like 9:30.
Yep.
So
yep.
We have a good 6 hours of just being outside and drinking.
That's
and
right.
Enjoying ourselves. We have the 11 o'clock game. You're seeing Penn State and Minnesota, and Minnesota's, like, winning this game. You're kind of like,
yep.
What's going on right now in the Big Ten West?
Yep.
And
as we continue to, maybe the drinks are flowing, then as we kind of get closer and closer to the stadium, we end up walking past this alumni donors little section.
Yep.
We run into Whitman with the really inspiring pep talk there,
which we can go into later.
Uh-huh. And also the schmucks that we are, we're like, you know, we're going to line up in the buffet line behind all these like $10,000 donors and a bunch of like 25-year-old kids right behind them, just kind of sneaking in there.
They say there's no such thing as a free lunch, but when Josh Whitman is putting one on behalf of the donors, you must go ahead and try the ribs.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and it was kind of like, I don't know, like after that, it was a little, I don't know, I was a little like, I was a little orange and blue misty-eyed of like, you know what, like, look at all these people that have traveled here. You know, we all believe, what if this happens today and this and that? And I remember,
Robert,
I'm in that moment. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think you might be forgetting about our biggest omen of the day at the Jack and Antonio tailgate, which was the basis for one of your greatest tweets of all time, was our neighboring Michigan State tailgaters' tent flipper in the wind, but... You know we have sand, Illinois.
That's
right. Our tent's not flipping.
That was I'm so glad you reminded me of that. That was fantastic. Oh, I forgot about that. But yes, so we go to this. I remember walking from the after we walked past the alumni tailgate. I had to do the TV thing. That's what it was. And I walk over to the TV thing, and I find out that Jake Hansen's injured. And so I'm like in this really like misty eyed mood of like, yeah, man, this is my team and we're 5-4 and this is a chance and this, and you know, just like everything Illinois ever. Oh yeah. Hansen's injured. Tolson's starting and somebody else was out. I can't remember who I found out was out. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, and so then immediate goes to, oh God, we're not going to beat Iowa. So then like, now it's going to be the Northwestern game, and oh, we're going to start. We're going to go 5-4. We're going to lose three more. We're going to miss a bowl. The five wins again. You know, you just tumble down the hill. So we go in. We go to the stadium. We get to our seats. We are in the corner in the Illinois section, which is nice. Carmen, I'll ask you this. So you've been to a lot of. Well, you let's see. You were Michigan. You were Rocky Harvey game, right?
Yes.
Were you in the Illinois section of Rocky Harvey game?
Yeah, end zone, big house, about like 50 rows up.
So how did those two compare?
The Michigan win was, I mean, you had many more fans there. And the celebration at the Michigan State game post game was better with because the players.
Because we could get right down there? Yeah.
Yeah, but we got down there for Michigan as well. So, and the fans were a lot more rowdy for the Michigan game, but they're all enjoyable. Anytime you went on the road, you just celebrate.
That's right. Okay, so we settle in before we know what's happening. I guess we did get a field goal early, but it was 14-3 before anything really happened. And so
Robert.
Yep.
Robert, the first half drive started punt, field goal, punt, punt, fumble, punt, 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 touchdown.
Like touchdown on the final play of the half.
That's how the first half went.
And the field goal was basically like a one-play drive, like right?
Justice Williams, really nice catch.
Right, a 30-yard pass to Justin Williams. It just got us into field goal range and McCourt hit the field goal. And that was the entire offense. There was one catch and nothing else for an entire half. We're down 28-3. And this is when the Michigan State fans get chippy, you know, like if you've ever been in a road section, you know, I just remember that guy who was seated down to our left, kind of right where we went in and out of the aisle there, who just kept turning around and like yapping and like saying stuff and all this stuff, you know. That's what makes a comeback like that fun, because you watch that guy until the moment he leaves the stadium, because, you know, he got bold enough to yap at you and like, you sure you guys don't want to go home right now and all this stuff. And there was other yapping, which we've decided we're not going to talk about. But yes, we got very vocal with some Michigan State fans, and they got vocal with us. And it was not a fun scene. But on the final play of the half, somehow we hit a – what was it? Didn't Peters get the ball knocked out of his hand or something like that?
Yep. Yes, he did.
Yeah, so he – yes, that's right.
It was like a fumble.
It was, it was nearly a strip sack, but it bobbled around, and he gathered it and throws it in the end zone. Bebe comes down with it, and it's 28-10 instead of 28-3. But as I remember, we're still in the stands. We're all cold, and we're still – like, I don't think anybody thought, like, oh, that's – you know, there's a little momentum going into the half. I think we were all down.
I had a conversation, Johnny, I don't know if you remember this conversation that we had at halftime. Johnny and I think maybe went to, you know, run off and get a snack or use the bathroom at halftime. And I go, Johnny, do you think that we can do this? And I said to myself, if we ever come back in this game, I will always remember this conversation that I have with John, because it was one of those, like, do you really think we can do this? And I don't know, like you say, Robert, some of that misty-eyed, like, this is my team, we're all sitting in this section here. And I don't know, Johnny, if you felt that same way about it, but I was like, just somehow get back into it.
I definitely remember it. We definitely left on a kind of sweet note with that Bebe touchdown. But it was just such a weird game, especially that first half, because you come in super high, 3 o'clock, you got kind of the sun setting, and you're also feeling it from the tailgate. And then Michigan State goes up big. And then you kind of start to also just like sober up, hangover starts to kick in all at once. And you're like, oh my God, we're down 28-3 and they're driving. And then we get an interception and then we put the ball back and then we get another interception. And it
Johnny,
was just...
I think every Illini fan knows that hangover you get midway through the second quarter, midway through the second quarter after maybe something positive happens in the first quarter, like maybe a Keyshawn Vaughn touchdown. That's for us. You guys probably all have your own. But
And what was great about that, too, was we could have been sitting anywhere, I guess, where visitors sit. But we were sitting in the same end zone that typically where the block guy is sitting. So you did feel like you're in the right place. You know, we've been here before. And then as the game starts to slip away, we've been there before.
Yes. I remember Carmen and I went to the bathroom or something or grabbed some food at halftime. And we were just having the conversation. Like, I didn't know that Michigan, like, the underbelly of Michigan State Stadium is really old. Like, it's really, like, I don't know. I'd just never been there. And I don't know why, from the exterior pictures, I thought it would be really nice. But, like, it's a 1945 stadium once you're under there trying to find a restroom. And Carmen and I are just like surrounded by all these Michigan State fans, and we're down 28-3, and the good vibes of the tailgate where they're like, oh, you know, maybe you guys will get us today. We're gone and we're just about to get destroyed. And I think you kind of need that feeling to have the craziness that happened in the second half. But in the second half, so we get to that, like, nothing happened in the third quarter. Like, nothing happened. It was like
zero.
Wasn't it punt, 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 punt? Like, were there
they
any?
Get a field goal.
Josh, you have the box score open?
Goal. Yeah. They started the half with a field goal.
Okay. So it went
and
to.
And then punt, 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 punt. Yeah.
Yes. And it was punting out for the rest of the quarter. I remember Dawson DeGroote had the big stop on third down on one of them.
Game of his life. Unbelievable. Right. Because he shouldn't even been playing in that game because of the ejection initially. And I still to this day, I can't understand how the Michigan State staff didn't zero in on him and be like, this guy doesn't play linebacker. He's about 80 pounds lighter than any linebacker you'll face all year. Yet he had the game of his life.
11 times.
And
yep.
We owe him, he should never have to pay for a drink and champagne again. It's unbelievable.
Maybe it's just Dawson DeGroote only never has to pay for a drink in East Lansing. So any Illini fan sees Dawson DeGroote in East Lansing, buy him a drink.
Absolutely.
So we stay in it. But I mean, for us, I remember like a couple rows in front of me, those Illini fans left. I don't know if you remember that. Like two rows in front of where Carmen and I were. And so they left at the end of the third quarter. and were pinned deep and had third down or whatever and all this stuff. And we were down, what was it? It's still 31-10 at that time?
10.
Yeah, 31-10 going into the third quarter. And then we hit Bebe for the 84-yard touchdown. And then Carmen decides to start the ILL chant. And at the time, I don't know what you guys thought, but at the time I was like, oh God, like, you know, we know what happens next. Like they score in three plays. We just know that happens. And so we're going to look so silly for this ILL chant, but the whole section joined it. What, like when Carmen started that, I know Carmen, you guys didn't really know Carmen. So what were your thoughts when we're starting an ILL chant down 31-17 in the fourth quarter?
But other than that, yeah, we were down and it's like, all right, I mean, I'm not going to not respond, but you, just like you said, Robert, it's so Illinois of MSU then to just go down and score in three plays. And we're going to look so silly because, you know, we've done that before in other road games and it just totally ends up biting us in the behind. But
yeah, the old fake rally and like, okay, yeah, sure. 84-yard touchdown, but we know what happens next.
Well, Johnny is probably on Carmen's page here because Johnny's an optimist through and through. So he was like, oh, this is exactly what's going to happen. We're going to have a couple interceptions here, a fumble, a couple lovey balls. And yeah, and that's what Johnny was thinking. But for me, no, I'm on the exact opposite page. I'm like, get this guy away from me. We are losing.
Yes.
I just want to chirp Michigan State fans for other related reasons.
Yes, which you did. So let's see what happens next in the game.
So then next thing that happens is they get the ball back and huge offensive pass interference called where they would have converted on third down. And
that's right. The push off on Hobbs.
Yes,
that's right.
The push off on Hobbs. And one of my favorite memories is Sam says, wow, I'm so proud of Lovey. That's like the first time I've seen him right before that. He was kind of like yelling at the officials, like, you need to call that. And then immediately we get the call. And then Carmen chimes in and he's like, what are you talking about? That was me yelling at the refs.
I've been known to be a bit vocal towards refs.
Yes. Yes. Can we cover your vocality towards refs and how the old lady in front of us at Ohio State told you to shut up?
That and Maui sitting in the Duke section, and I like to be loud and proud at away games.
Yes, and I am very non-vocal and very non-confrontational, and we had people at the Ohio State basketball game moving to a different section because Carmen every single time down the court was, that's a foul! So
you guys all saw it. You saw it. Yes. You know it was a foul.
Yes. Okay, so fourth quarter, we get the penalty. They have to punt, and then we put down an actual drive, right? Like that was the Reggie Corbin touchdown.
Yeah, but it's a quick drive, like 4 or 5 plays.
Yeah, like bang bang, quick, you hit Navarro underneath a couple times. You get Reams, and you just straight down the field and score.
Yeah, nice pass on the sideline to Reggie Corbin where you do like the fake handoff and then he kind of goes onto the wheel route when you whirl right and then throw it back across the body.
The one time that play works that Rod uses it. It's the Nat Nagy special too.
And so then, so now we really start the ILL chant because it's 31-24 and we're going nuts. And like, you know, the yapping has stopped from all of the Michigan State fans and they're getting nervous and there's still like 7 minutes left or whatever. And what first play was the Tolson fumble. So this begins, I don't think in fandom, I tried to sort this out the next way of like, have I ever ridden a roller coaster like the next 7 minutes? I don't think I ever have, like, cause you know, it's the high of we recover a fumble at the 7 and then we throw a pick and then we somehow return a pick for a touchdown, but we miss the extra point and then they score and then we don't, but wait, there was a penalty, you know, like the rest of the game was just this insane roller coaster. So we Tolson recovers the fumble at like the 6 and then was
6 with 11 minutes left. Look at it right now. 11 minutes left. So in the span of 4 minutes, we go touchdown, touchdown, force 3 and out, touchdown. and then recover a fumble at the 7. And it was one of those moments where you're like,
yep,
how are we already here? Yes. Like, yes, usually you're down 21 in the third quarter and you're like, timing out, okay. Like, I guess if we get the ball back, then we'll get the ball back again with like 4 minutes left, maybe get an onside kick, and right, you're at the 7,
yep,
down by a touchdown. It made no
sense. A little suspect, a little too good for Illini football.
You're right. You're right. We all have the feeling of, you know, what goes wrong, or, oh God, we're going to come all the way back and tie it, and then they're going to just march down and put us away and, you know, hit a field goal at the buzzer to, you know, give us this another fake rally. So third down that Peters threw the pick?
Yep.
Okay. Third down. So two failed plays, then we throw a pick and we're right back down. And then I can't, somebody,
this is where Michigan State starts to drive a little bit. I think there was another offensive pass interference, but one of the plays, the play before Lewerke throws an interception, Lewerke gets destroyed.
Yeah,
this is my favorite controversy to bring up, and I don't want to sweep MSU under the rug here. I know they've come under, sweep you away, know, in a fire here.
But Lewerke gets wrecked.
He took a knee to the back of the head, and I think one or two of the linemen are kind of motioning over to the trainer. Be like, this, look, our guy got, he's down. He's got a concussion. You know, he never comes out of the game. You know, he gets up and he goes back into the game. He stays in the game. And I think his next play is an incompletion. And it's just way, way, way off. Like, you can tell this guy, he's playing a little bit, you know, off a little bit, probably because he got, you know, kneed in the back of the head here. And you think, like, if he doesn't get kneed, if he gets taken out of the game, is the next pass completed? Is it a run for a first down? But, you know, it fell into Illinois' favor, and you never root for injuries or anything like that. But Lewerke was playing, you know, banged up a little bit in the head, and that led to a severely, you know, off pass.
Yep.
And without that, you know, I don't know how that drive ends.
Yes. And I can't remember I've always said, like, as far as fan reaction, a punt return for touchdown is usually the most, like, you know, because it takes so long to develop, it's the most crazy you go in the stands of, like, oh God, he's in the clear, and you get louder and louder, and, you know, even a long running touchdown like Keyshawn Vaughn, like you guys mentioned earlier, you know, like it's this crescendo of, you know, getting louder and getting louder. A pick six like that to tie a game in the fourth quarter, like, I cannot remember going, I remember my phone, and, you know, I had that charger because I knew I was going to do the media thing afterwards. So I had that little charger pack in my hoodie pocket. We were jumping around and running around and running up and down the aisles and high-fiving. That fell out somewhere. Thankfully, my phone didn't break. I had to go find my phone after that. But I can't remember a moment of going more, like, nuts than a pick six with what was left by that point. 6 minutes left, something like that.
Maybe less, yeah.
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 Five minutes left. And then, right after we tie. No one even
realizes it.
Yes. Yes.
Mel Kiper is top kicker.
Yes. Never missed an extra point in his entire career. And shank. And it's 31-30. And I remember, this is what we were talking about earlier, Bricker. You were behind. So we had like three seats and then four seats. And I just turned around and grabbed your collar like, my God, no, this did not happen, and nearly choked you out. So this is your public apology for nearly choking you.
Apology accepted. Okay. 1 year later. I appreciate it. Okay. I want to paint some more context before we keep going on that.
Yep.
If my memory doesn't escape me here, I want to say that this was the same day as Bama LSU. Is that correct?
It was.
Yep. Yep.
So, and they started, I think they were a late afternoon, early evening game. So the entire nation is
watching the Illinois game.
Joe Burrow versus Tua Tagovailoa. And we are encapsulated by Lewerke v. Peters.
That's right.
And I just think that's right. Some additional kind of funny context to all of this, that we couldn't care less about Burrow v. Tua, because we've got all we need right in front of us there.
That's exactly right. So we missed the extra point, so we are beyond devastated. And, you know, it's the Illinois fan thing, right? Like, all of this, we fight all the way back, and then what's the most Illinois thing that could happen? A first ever missed extra point for McCourt. and it's 31:30. And then I remember this clearly. I'm pretty sure it was the first play of the next drive. They nearly break one. Like,
yep.
Stanley Green and Tolson, I think, ran into each other and tripped each other or something like that. And
yep, yeah, the mental image of those guys just falling over
yes,
each other.
Yes. And, you know, they run into each other, fall down, and suddenly there's a Michigan State tailback in the clear. And thankfully, Dele Harding had just enough speed to run him down. It had an angle on him, but it was a pretty quick tailback. So I think that already put him in field goal range, right? And then there were three straight. Did they go three and out there once they were in field goal range? I can't remember.
That's maybe where the concussion might have happened.
The group made a pretty good tackle, I think, too, on that third down play.
Oh, that's right. Because
field goal.
That's right. That's right. They tried to sneak him out the back, and DeGroote stayed home. And so they have to kick the field goal, which they made, which we thought they missed. At least I did from the, like, I thought it was coming up short.
What'd they kick on? Was it like fourth and one?
No, it was like fourth and four or something like that. Somebody got
We had some nice second and third down stops there, but I remember having that Illinois thought of, we're only down one, just let them score the touchdown. Like, I was like, they're going to run the clock out. Just like, we need to find a way to get the ball back.
Yep. Yep. And then, so they make the field goal, they kick off. I'm pretty sure we did a fair catch thing. And then we got to the 50 really quick.
Caleb Reams.
Yes. We hit.
Unbelievable catch.
That's right. That's right. Reams on the opposite side.
Right sideline there, yeah.
Yes. And to paint some context, so we are in the opposite end zone. So Illinois is going away from us. We're on the Illinois side of the field, but we're in that far corner there. So as this as that drive is developing, it's getting further and further away from us, and we can't see it. And honestly, like, I have all these memories of Fourth and Bebe just from like watching the highlights so many times. Like, I feel like I was so like, oh my God, we came all the way back to just have it end like this.
Yeah. And they even built suspense too, where they call the timeout right before fourth down. Right. So it's third and 17. We don't get it. Call the timeout, fourth and 17. And then we're all just sitting there like, what play is Rod going to drop right here?
Yep.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch the play live.
Really?
No, not at all. I was probably looking down, put my hands in my face. I do that anytime. Like, there's an important kick I have to watch. Like, I can't watch. I don't have the guts to watch it.
Yep. Yep.
I think you were watching Bam LSU on your phone. Right?
Yeah, that's There you go, Sam.
I think Carmen did call it though, of like, just throw it to Bebe. Like, you know, I think what you said was like, just run the play at the end of the half. Like, who cares? It's fourth and 17. Just throw a jump ball and see if he'll catch it. And you, sir, were quite correct. So then we're set up. We're at the, gosh, what are we at? We're at the 25 then or whatever. Then there's the screen pass. No, do we throw to Dre along the left sideline and then again on the right sideline, something like that?
Yep. So we're at the 19. Yep. Dre Brown for 6 yards.
Yep.
That's a rush. Then Brandon Peters to Dre Brown for 12 yards. That takes us to the first and one.
Yeah, and that 12 yards was like, that's Dre Brown's. I mean, yeah, we all remember the Wisconsin play, but that step left, step right, miss two guys, get to the one. And, you know, watching that highlight, like, it was a really good play by the Michigan State linebacker crashing down. He almost scored. Like, Dre was one guy to beat who just happened to slash in there at the right time. And then maybe the most excruciating 9 minutes? How long?
At least infinite.
Yes. Infinite. I was looking at my phone. So I don't know if you remember this. So I'm like, God, I have to get this on film. So I started filming each play. So I filmed first down. I filmed second down. I filmed third down. I filmed the fourth down play with the, you know, and then I'm like, I got to stop doing this. Like, we're not going to like, so we're on the edge of our seats. The whole Michigan State fans are hiding their eyes. Like, oh God, they're 1 yard away. And I mean, to watch that again is so, I mean, we merely fumble on the first down, right? On the third down play, the pass is batted down, but the corner jumped the route, and it's a pick, and he's gone. If the pass is not batted down, you know, we're flirting with every type of Illinois disaster possible and somehow still avoiding it. And then on fourth down, we get the least likely penalty call of all time. Having watched the highlight, do you guys believe it was pass interference?
Yes, by the letter of the law, it was pass interference. There's a couple of times where there's a little bit of pushing and shoving by the Michigan State, but how does the ref make that call?
In East Lansing, in front of 75,000 Michigan State
fans. Also, how does Rod Smith make the call of, we're going to do a one-read play where we throw a jump ball up to Caleb our Williams. Least accomplished receiver?
I don't think he really jumped.
Yeah. Don't be mean to Caleb.
No, I believe that's why we got the call, is that I've watched that several times, is the defensive back had his hand on Reams' right shoulder, and so as Reams went back to jump, you can see the jersey like slide forward, like the glove is holding jersey on the shoulder. And when you see the jersey move like that, they're gonna pull the flag every time. And so, you know, it was just enough of a tug on his shoulder to keep him from leaping that the guy threw the flag. And so we hit another chance. I don't even remember what happened on first down.
Was that the botched snap where Peters kind of falls back?
I think that was that was the other first down, wasn't it?
Well,
It says Dre Brown for -3 yards.
Oh, that's right. We tried to sneak Brown left, and they blew it up. That's right. And then we switch offenses. The clock is running down, and Carmen screaming, snap the ball.
Our time. Yeah. MSU could have taken their time on those substitutions there. They decided to have their guys run out there. But I think, and tell me if I'm wrong how it works in college football, they could have walked out there and taken another 8 seconds off the clock, which would have essentially ended the game.
It's a great debate that we had later at the bar. I remember talking about that, of like how long, because we had done that to somebody recently, or not recently now, but recent to that game, maybe even in the Rutgers game, of that they had done a switch, and so we just walked our guys out there because the ump's going to stand over the ball until we're set because they changed players. But yes, so then the rollout and, you know, 5 seconds and everything else. And we've talked about this. I've written about this. None of us knew what happened. Did anybody here, I'll just open it up. Did anyone know we had scored?
It genuinely felt like between the time that the ball left Peter's hands and the time in which the referee signaled touchdown, it felt like a minute and a half. And when I go back and watch it, it's seconds, it's two seconds, it's 3 seconds. Yep. But in my mind, it was an infinite amount of time. Mm-hmm. And that's just, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was because we couldn't see it or because time was moving slow.
Robert has painted the picture. We are at the furthest possible point away from where this play could happen.
Exactly. The
screen that we could watch, like if you're like the people that are in the nosebleeds, but like that watched like the Jumbotron, like that is still that's even further. So it like didn't even help us whatsoever. Like we could not tell whatsoever what was going on.
I learned it was a touchdown from Carmen. Like, like we saw the, like I remember. He reached to the side and like grabbed my hoodie by the collar and started screaming, "We scored.
We scored."
Yes. And I think you were watching the ref first.
It was like, did we score? Did we score? We scored.
Yes. Did you watch the ref? Did you watch the Illinois sideline? What did you watch, Carmen?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
So it was,
but it was one of those moments where it just seemed like everything was silent.
Yep.
And you're just trying to focus in on the refs and just that moment of not knowing that feels like an hour.
Yep.
And then you kind of see those arms go up.
Yeah.
And then you just jump into people's arms. It was insane.
Yes.
You commit unsportsmanlike penalties, but like that's a separate
Well, if you're Daniel Barker, you're right. Yeah. I, 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 Yes, it felt like 20 seconds between, you know, the silence of the crowd. And I don't, did any of us know it was even Barker? Like,
no.
I don't think we no even idea. Knew who caught it. Like, it was so far, and we were blocked by the lineman, and it was in the other corner of the end zone.
Well, I think by the time that we all realized it was a touchdown, we're at the point where, like, I'm tackling Maor, and he's like, get off me. And I'm, like, trying to just, like, we're just going crazy. So there was really, like, once we figured out it was a touchdown, there was not knowing who held on to the ball or anything like that.
Yes. I remember, you know, we're high-fiving everybody in the Illinois section, and we're screaming, and we did it, and this and that. We're all running around. And I remember so the guy who sitting next to me who got mad at you, Josh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm hugging that guy. Like, we're yapping at each other. Two Illinois fans, like, shut up, man. You guys just leave him alone. And, you know, everybody's yapping in the first half, and suddenly in the second half, we're all best friends and hugging. And,
little does he know, he's one of Illini Board's most popular followers. He likes every single one of our tweets.
I love it. And so then it's just insanity. I like the next few minutes are like a blur. I know Carmen ran down first.
I have a question for Carmen.
Yep.
I mean, I know Usain Bolt's like 100 meter record is like 9.5, whatever. Like, we were sitting pretty, not like that far up, but how were you able to, because whatever picture you look at from after the game, you'll see Carmen in his orange gloves.
That's right.
With the, you know, the his fingers row. In the air, like, yep. We're number one. How were you able to get so close so quickly? It's astounding. How were you able to get there so fast?
I was ready to celebrate. You get down there, you squeeze your way down, and I ended up in the first row.
You shoved over three old ladies. I know you did.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert, I think you need to tweet out the photo with Carmen and just the two thumbs up.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just a little arrow saying, this is the guy who wiggled his way through.
It wiggles way
now
through.
Now all the pit players are giving him high fives. And yes. It was amazing.
Yes. I'll even build it up further. Like, you know, the players are throwing gloves to the kids and Carmen's grabbing the gloves. And
trying to grab the gloves. The thing is, After celebrating, I'm like, where is everyone? I'm looking around. I can't find everyone.
Yep.
You just get so, you know, into the environment, into the celebration. Your new best friends are the people to the right and left of you. You don't even know who they are.
Exactly. And so then they play the school song. They play Alma Mater. They, you know, there is nothing like the road game corner celebration with the players. Like, there's
Club
nothing.
Club Spartan Stadium.
That. They're like, and all the people who were around you and making fun of you all day and yapping at you and go home Illinois fans, for them to just file out in silence while you go celebrate with the team is, that's, you know, and as I'm saying this, I'm remembering that it was 367 days ago and we have not won a football game since that moment.
Sad thoughts.
Yes, great no transition. Sad thoughts. So yeah, I lost you guys. I lost Carmen. I was, you know, I recorded my little from the stands thing, but I don't even remember. Like, I think when did we take that group picture? That was like after.
That was after, before you went down to the media stuff. But I just remember I always go back to it, like, whenever, like, probably every week after a loss, I just go back to my Snapchat memories trying to find us singing, because I took a video of us singing like Alma Mater. It was the loudest, like, my voice is so cringe right now. It was so much more cringier in that one.
Yep.
But it's worth it. It was.
Yeah. I mean, I remember tearing up during that Alma Mater because we went to school 2014 to 2018, 2015 to 2019. So we saw no winning football seasons. We saw no tournament appearances. So to see that team, those guys on the sideline rolling their helmets, we're going bowling, that was like, wow. After all of this investment, we finally get something. We finally get this moment, and we drove down. It was incredible.
Yep. And then I went to go do the media thing. And Did you guys, I guess, eventually found Carmen, or you just...
Yeah, we found him where we exactly would be. So that just means we're little him. And that's yeah. that's waiting in line for the players to walk to the bus and just high-fiving every single player coming out of going onto the bus.
Every player who comes out, Carmen's like, "We're going to a ball. We're going to a ball.
We're going bowling."
And he is.
I think I was more excited. I was more excited than they were. We're going to a bowl game.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And then Brian Barnhart, after all those players walks out, he comes out. We're like, Brian, and he goes in his announcer voice, "It's the biggest comeback in school history."
Love it.
Another moment as those guys are walking out, McCourt walks by and he just turns and he goes, "I'm sorry about that extra pass." Just complete sincerity. Just, "I'm sorry."
That's amazing. Because that's got to be a hard feeling. I mean, from the high of Wisconsin to missing that. But again, as we talked about earlier, if play it out, I mean, Michigan State then kicks a field goal, they would have taken the lead. We would have gotten down to the one. Didn't score on first, second, third down, we would have kicked a field goal and gone over.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Oh, well, if we made it, I mean, that's if you miss an extra point.
We are Illinois football, and we cannot be trusted. So, now I come out of the media, and I remember I came out on the wrong side of the state. I couldn't find my way out. Like, everything, I went the wrong way, and I walked the entire concourse trying to find the gate that was open. And I can't remember where we found each other. Like, I remember we were
just by where we were. Just by where we were.
It was where the players kind of, you know, come out from. That's right. Waiting for the bus. That's right. And you were able to kind of exit there.
So then we walked back through campus, and whoever had gone to buy the beer in the morning knew at least where that street was, or whatever it was called.
It was their Green Street, yeah.
Yes. And so we first went to some old restaurant, right? Like, didn't we go to – we tried to go into some old place. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, a glorified, I don't know. It was probably more like a Legends, I would say.
Yes. And
maybe more like a Murphy's, though. Like
probably more of a Murphy's.
More divey.
Yes. And they didn't have any tables, and they weren't really willing to make room for a bunch of guys wearing orange. And so they let us out. Didn't we go out the back? And then we went down this alley.
We went through.
That's right. We went through the bar, came out, and then I can't even remember the name of the place we found. Anybody remember?
I don't know. No. I just know that DJ wouldn't play. All we do is win. All we do.
Yes. And so
I tried
then
so hard.
We sat there, and like there is nothing like that pizza and beer on the road in your orange and blue amongst a bunch of Michigan State fans, knowing you're bowl eligible. I remember Maddie and I, we filmed the video of me changing my pinned tweet. Mm-hmm. Which mm-hmm. It's a little sad right now.
I had to remind you to do that. I'm like, you got to do a little something there, Robert.
That's right. I had to mark the moment because no more did we have that bowl-less, tournament-less streak. I've done a decent number of road trips, but nothing. Like, the only thing that was as fun as that was maybe the Micron PC Bowl because we beat Virginia, what was it, 63-10? What was the score, Carmen?
63-21 or something
63-21?
Like
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
something
just
like that.
A complete demolition. And that was Y2K. So Carmen and I spent Y2K. That was like the 30th, right? Yeah. December 30th, and then we spent the next night, New Year's night, waiting for planes to fall out of the sky. I don't think any other road trip I've been on ever came anywhere close to what this was. Like, I don't know, Carmen, if you can think, I mean, Rocky Harvey, I'm sure, would be close. I wasn't there, but it's really hard to beat a comeback, fourth quarter comeback like that and score with 5 seconds left to be bowl eligible. I can't think of anything close.
The Michigan comeback, even though I was an Illinois fan, I was with Michigan fans. So it's not like I had a group of Illinois fans to celebrate with. So, you know, we go back to the tailgate, you know, I'm smiling and they're all,
right.
you know, upset as can be. So this was much more enjoyable because the celebration went through the night.
Yes.
What was nice too was that was also the Block I. That was their traveling game too. So we had some of those kids behind us.
That's right.
We really did have kind of like our own little bubble there, except for the close MSU fans who we chirped at quite a bit.
That's right. And we had our, I just thought of this. We had the kid in the front row.
Yes.
who kept turning around and pointing and chanting with us and pointing at us. That kid was awesome. And in fact, it was, I found out who's
former kid. Player.
Yes.
Former
yes.
player.
It was Patrick Rouse's son, I think, former long snapper. And so, yes, so he kept turning around and pointing to us and chanting with us and everything else. Yeah. It's a road game. I'll never top. And then we got to celebrate till, well, you guys stayed out later than me. I went back to the hotel to write and, I ran into you on the street, didn't I? Like I was waiting for my
Uber. Yeah, because we were bar hopping.
That's right. That's right. And I was waiting for my Uber and you guys just showed up heading from one to another one.
Yeah, but I think the highlight of that night was the Michigan State co-eds who walking towards Carmen at the prime age of maybe, how old are you, Carmen, 48 or so?
He's only 47.
Did not stop talking to him. Okay, it was, we were watching, it was really impressive.
Well, he's a magnet. Yes. Okay, so let's go, let's transition now, because that was football, and we haven't won since, and this season has not been entirely fun and could get to a maybe all-time low if we lose to Rutgers. But we do have basketball coming up, and so we probably should do a Illini podcast about basketball, and that's what you guys are going to do. So one of you take us through the plan, and I guess I could talk through that. So this is kind of introducing these guys so you get to know them. I did the same thing with the Field Pass, the football podcast. I had them on here, and then the next week they recorded their own show. So that's the plan. I want to point out, just like I did with those guys, that it's going to be a basketball podcast, but it's not that you're only going to talk about basketball. Josh, you mentioned that, but you guys are, you know, some of you are even maybe football first, but, you're going to be talking the Illinois fan experience, right? Like this is not, it's going to be basketball centric. You're going to have a lot of basketball guests and things like that. But, there's also going to be some football talk because we're all Illinois fans and we all follow it all.
We definitely are going to talk about both. I do identify as one of the 17. You called us out on October 12th, 2018, when you didn't remember that it was a year before.
That's right.
A year before the day that ended up not being the day that we all tweeted you at midnight of that day saying like, hey, 1 year from now. And you're like, oh, I forgot. But three of the 17 reminded us. But yeah, we'll be a basketball focused podcast. We'll go do recaps, previews, but we'll also try to make it more fun. We don't want to be the generic people talking the news of the team. We kind of want to just go more just our opinions of what's going on. Or you want to continue on that?
Yeah, I think we understand that there's a lot of Illinois podcasts out there that you all consume that sort of satiate the news or the takes or whatever it might be. And we do sort of want to carve out our own little avenue in terms of Illinois basketball or football or Illinois sports in general or whatever really maybe. And so we want to be open to feedback and we want to make it interesting and entertaining and not just sort of have those, you know, newsy type things that you can read on Robert's website or whatever website. And so we're sort of excited to sort of have our own spin as, you know, younger Illinois fans. And as Robert said, sort of, he sort of sees us as what he was a couple decades ago, which we obviously hold in very high esteem and high honor because that's not a distinguished that we take very lightly. That's something that we take with a lot of pressure and a lot to sort of live up to. So we want to make it as fun as possible and sort of just hanging it loose.
Well, it's just like 20 years ago, I was Johnny and Carmen was Maddie and our friend Brian was Josh, which he still is to this day. Like he maybe tends toward more of the demand excellence side of things. Is that fair, Josh?
I don't demand excellence. I demand competency.
Okay. Demand competency. Yes.
That sounds like Brian.
That's Brian. So this is just my group of friends when I was your guys' age, and we're just, you know, you're just replacing us in that age bracket. So, but I do want to talk a little basketball before we finish here, because I think we are, you know, I originated the phrase one of the 17 or whatever, and even I am peeking over the, you know, like there's no more an Illinois fan experience than an 0-3 football team that you start thinking, oh God, are we really going to go 0-9? And on the other side of the fence, a number 8 basketball team that just got a first team All-American today and, you know, really legitimately has a chance for a deep tournament run. So I want to talk about that a little bit before we go, because we've got Carmen here and he's a big basketball fan too. So Carmen, get ready, because we're going to get your basketball takes. But here's just the topic I want to talk about, just to touch on basketball. I'll probably put this in the thing of like, if you guys don't want to hear anything about Illinois football because you're sick of it and you don't want to hear about Michigan State, fast forward to an hour and we will, I promise, talk a little basketball. So Carmen, I'm coming to you. How deep do you think this team can go? Like, do you buy the hype? Do you think it's a possible Final Four team? Do you think Feliz will be missed? Do you think Griffin's missed? Does this shooting scare you? What kind of team do you think this really is?
I'm going to surprise everyone and say I am not buying the hype right now.
Whoa!
How's that? How's that?
Ooh, let's hear it.
That's my guy.
That's a take.
I hate, I'll give my points and turn it over. I hate the schedule from a seating standpoint. As a fan, I love it. You got to love Baylor, Duke, Missouri, 20 Big Ten games, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan State, Indiana. But, you know, we hit some lows, shooting lows. Feliz was a more important player than I think we give him credit for. So I just don't like the schedule going into the Big Ten because I think you need a 1 or 2 seed, maybe an outside 3 to do it. Mm-hmm. If you're a 4 or 5 seed going in, that's challenging. Mm-hmm. So,
when you say you're not buying the hype, you're thinking this is a 5 seed team, not a 2 or a 1 seed team.
Right now, I want to see them win on the road. Now, it's no fans, right? Mm-hmm. I want to see them win on the road, and they got to shoot better. Mm-hmm. And you know, who's going to play the 4?
Great
question.
See,
Carmen, I think your first point, though, you want to see them win on the road. They did that last year. They proved they could go in anywhere and win. I would say, from a positive perspective, the KenPom might be a little bearish on us, but I think it's really because we didn't close games out last year in a sense of we didn't put teams away. We always let teams kind of hang around. But I think our depth this year really can kind of take us over the top, and that you take Io out and you put Curbelo in, and there's not that much of a drop off, and you take Kofi out, and now you know, okay, we're going to put Georgie in, and it seems like this team is a little deeper, and yeah, you don't gain confidence with the schedule, but at the same time, like, this is a schedule that Tom Izzo puts together so his team can figure it out in the early months and then dominate the Big Ten. And you walk away with the Big Ten championship, then you're going to be hard-pressed not to be a top 3 seed.
You are me, Johnny. I love it. I love it. That is you had to read my notes. That's in my diary. I mean, come on. That is good stuff. I'm fired up.
Johnny is the eternal optimist.
I love it.
Every sporting event, that is a pass interference call. That is a holding call for his team. He will never not be the eternal optimist. And I think it's good. And
as will I. A lot of valid points. World needs us, Johnny. It needs
But here's
us.
The thing. We'll find stats to back us up and say, like, why this can happen.
That's right.
And
now,
really, if they figure the shooting out, if they figure the shooting out, then this is a top five team.
I'm there. Now, I also saw Sam shaking his head no at you, Johnny. So we're going to Sam now to find out why he was shaking his head at you.
I think, to be honest, without Io and Kofi, there's no reason yet. I'm not saying there won't be, but I don't think there's a reason yet to think this would be top 25 team. If you think about teams like 2005 Illini, who was their third best player, who was the third best player on more recent teams, like the 2015 Duke team, maybe Justice Winslow, Dante DiVincenzo going off for Villanova. I don't know who our third best player is. I don't know how good that third best player is going to be. So I think that's kind of where I'm really, when we say we have depth, how good is that depth actually going to be? So it's not that I don't think we can get there.
Trent Frazier, who Johnny, you want to say Trent Frazier? You want me to say Trent Frazier?
I was even going to say Trent Frazier.
Okay, good.
Is Trent good enough to be the third best player on a national championship team?
It depends on how he shoots the three. I think it comes down to that.
Yep. But that comment is so important. You need three consistent scorers to win in college basketball. Two scorers, all they do is put you at 8-8. And you need that third guy that's dependable. And that is truly
Bosman's
the key.
Verdonk.
Have you seen BBV after a year with Fletch? You guys should see him. The staff is raving after a year in the weight room. So, yeah, he could be number three or number four.
Have you guys seen Duncan Robinson in the NBA? Okay. Austin Hutcherson, all right?
A year practicing
the system. Most athletic player on the team, according to Brad Underwood. I'm not going to talk about how he hasn't played all summer in the fall because of a back injury.
Okay.
But
we don't even need to discuss it. I want to get Bricker's take because Bricker's being quiet over here. We're going to basketball, so top five team, top 10 team, Sweet 16, so, Elite Eight, Final Four. What do you see?
I'm going to do some nice tying it all together here.
Love it.
And I'll make you be lying when you say that there's no more Michigan State football talk once you get to an hour in the podcast. But when we were at the bar after the Michigan State game, this person came up to us and said, "Oh, are you guys just Michigan fans just, you know, messing with us?" I'm like, what kind of question is that? We're wearing orange? Like, of course we're not Michigan fans. We're Illinois fans. She's like, no, Illinois fans, they wouldn't come to a game like this. They're not traveling here. You guys are Michigan fans. And Johnny has to show them his screensaver on his iPhone that it's D Brown with the jersey pop to prove that we are Illini fans.
Love it.
And to me, that was the reputation of Illini fans, is that we were so irrelevant, not even thought about, that Michigan State fans think we're Michigan fans undercover in orange. And this basketball season, it's the time to turn it around. Next year, this time, because of this basketball season, Michigan State fans aren't coming up to us thinking about that. I'm all in on the Trent Frazier being your third best player.
Yeah.
Senior point guard captain. That sounds like the third guy to me. You saw the flaws 3 years ago with Trent as the best player. It doesn't have to be that.
Right.
I think he can step back into that role senior year. You have some potential high ceiling freshman additions. I'm all in.
Love it.
If I'm looking from a Villanova perspective, going into, was it DiVincenzo's sophomore year or junior year that year? I think it was sophomore. I think if I'm going in based on prior seasons, I think I'm more confident with Trent Frazier as a senior than DiVincenzo as a junior. Am I wrong?
Not to
statistically,
me.
You're right.
Yes.
Exactly. So that's why I think I'm confident he could be your third best player.
And that's the thing, too, is like every year we get older, the rest of the Big Ten and the rest of the NCAA gets younger. So you're like the 2005 team. Yes, we're not going to have our third best player be a second team All-American like Luther Head was. But this is a different landscape where one and done's rule, and there just aren't the same experienced teams that there were in the Big Ten 15 years ago.
Okay, I thought you were going more the Twitter version where people could just list names of players that they've heard of, where they're like, oh, this guy played like three good snaps on offense and he's good.
Yeah, I think my thing with this basketball team, I've probably said this like 12 times now, and I'll keep writing it. Like, it's to me, it's like every piece you want. Okay. You got to have some seniors. You got Trent, you got DeMonte, the glue guy. Okay. You got the defensive stopper that if you need, you've got, you know, you can turn to that. You want to turn to the freshman phenoms? Great. You've got Miller and Curbelo, and you've got these, you know, guys are instant offense and bring them in. You want guys who are right on the cusp of the NBA but haven't declared yet. You've got Io, you got Kofi. You know, you have all these different pieces from all these different directions of, you know, the ingredients for a great team. And that's why I think a lot of these, you know, some of these polls have them number four, and, you know, AP poll is eight, but like, I think that's what a lot of people see is, man, when you just look for the pieces of a team that usually makes a deep run, you know, it's usually like that. And I thought Brad Underwood said something interesting today on his press conference when they were announcing Goody, but he was asked about this team, and he kind of talked about how, like, you know, yeah, Duke and everything is tough, and maybe the schedule and, you know, all the stuff Carmen was saying, basically. He talked everything in terms of, I don't even care if we lose some of those games, because I want to be prepared come tournament time. Like, I want to be the most tested, the most prepared. Like, I'm not even looking at anything else with this team. This is, how do we best prepare for that 6-game run in March?
I still would prefer to not be the best 1-8 team in the country. If that can somehow be prevented, I would still prefer not getting those fake compliments from guys like Izzo, where they're like, yeah, you got to play Illinois hard. Meanwhile, they're, you know, they're 1-8 and losing to Northwestern still. So yes, I like the tough schedule, but yes, Now is the time where you actually win some of those games. You don't have to win all of them.
That quote was exactly the best 4-12 team in the country was the exact quote from 2018.
Yeah, just to be devil's advocate for that, didn't he use that exact quote though? Like, during when we went through Maui and all of that, like, didn't he say like, I want this team not, like, to be like the most tested team? Like, that's just my devil's advocate side coming out.
No. Like, oh yes, when we were like 1-6 or whatever, and he said,
yeah, going through the, yes, like, worst season we ever had, mm-hmm, for Illinois basketball. Like, he did, yes, use that exact quote. Yes. So like, this is what the time where I'd like to prove it.
Yes, I think this was the, why are you playing such a difficult schedule? Like, why would you go find the Baylor game? You know, why would you add yourself to that? And the answer is, like, the whole plan is to be as tested and ready as possible come March, which, fingers crossed. Of course, Carmen's a hater, and he thinks we're going out in the round of 32. So, okay.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, and I'll be there the whole way.
And I have to say, Baylor is definitely a team that I don't want to play, because they're very similar in that they're old. They know how to play against each other.
Yep.
I'd much rather play a Duke team that, in a month of not playing with each other and with COVID, less practices, like, that seems to be way better.
How many freshmen are going to be on that Duke team? How many, you know,
I think they're starting 18-year-olds. I think they're starting to, but then they have like five top 80 recruits.
Experience might rule in a situation like that.
Definitely.
In an empty Cameron Indoor.
Yeah.
And yeah, Adam Miller is taking it personally against DJ Stewart for being an All-American.
Uh-huh.
Is DJ taking it personally or no?
No.
Well, he's taking it personally because Adam won Gatorade Player of the Year, but didn't DJ win Mr. Basketball? Wasn't that what happened?
No, Adam won Mr. Basketball.
All right, then DJ won Gatorade Player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the Michigan State crew here, you got Missouri and Iowa. Who do you hate more?
I love it.
Miss Iowa.
Yes, correct.
The yellow and black team.
So how much energy will you guys bring when watching those games from home? Describe how you're going to watch that game.
I'm trying to think which one, like, I'm just doing which one I'm more miserable losing to. So I think that's Missouri, which is tough because, like, I hate Iowa since we play them way more often in both sports. But, like,
let me put it this way. You are on the road for business. Your hotel does not get ESPN2, which is covering the game, so you have to go to a bar. You are either at a bar in Columbia watching Mizzou, Illinois with a bunch of Mizzou fans, or you're at a bar in Iowa City watching Illinois, Iowa with a bunch of Iowa fans, who do you want to punch more?
Oh my God.
I'll take this one. All of them. Okay. So you asked the impossible question yourself.
I'm not deciding.
I didn't realize, Robert, when you had us made a podcast, make it go, you know, I didn't realize it was going to be this challenging. I thought we were just going to kind of get on here, talk some sports. I didn't realize you were going to get really philosophical with this.
Which is a more nightmare scenario?
Both teams are so hateable right now.
Yes.
Obviously, the Missouri team with all the guys leaving. But Luka Garza's been there for 40 years. And I remember watching that game when we lost to them in overtime when Garza was a freshman and saying, like, oh, my God, we're going to have to deal with this kid for so long.
Wasn't that my birthday?
Yes, it was your birthday.
That was the worst.
It was terrible. And we choked that game. And then also someone like Bohannon, like, you're chucking up 40-footers. How can I not hate you? And then obviously you've got Mark Smith and Tillman. Mm-hmm. I would say – I don't know. There's
so many punchable Wisconsin and Iowa basketball players right now. To me, I hate Wisconsin more.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Sam, you look like you're thinking about it.
Sam's going to say Northwestern, isn't he? Just to make sure to throw the scent away.
I think my answer, I don't know.
Have
you guys
one.
Ever been to Bragging Rights game?
No,
not yet.
It's on the bucket list.
Rick, are you at, right?
I strongly encourage you to go to a Bragging Rights game.
Yes.
And feel the energy, both positive and negative, mm-hmm. at that game. It is intense.
Yes.
I wonder what, like, a national basketball fan thinks about that game. Like, for us, it's just, like, obviously, they're like, wait, these two, like, maybe their states are next to each other, but why do these two schools hate each other? If they don't know that Bragging Rights has been a thing for this many years.
Mm-hmm. On the SEC network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something.
Slap in the face. Yeah, I'm obviously answering Missouri, but that's because I grew up in St. Louis. And so anybody from St. Louis is going to say Missouri. That game is everything. It's talked about. It's literally Bragging Rights. It's such a huge deal. So
yeah, I guess growing up in Chicago, you don't get that exact same feel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there are more Iowa fans here, yeah, in the city, I would say, than Illinois fans. So it's nice when you can sort of shut them up a little bit, and especially because they're in your conference and you might play them twice a year. It's
or
tough
three
not to say
times.
Iowa.
The past
couple
of years where they eliminated us in the Big Ten tournament, which is really tough to watch.
The
Kipper Nichols game, 30 points. But then the year after, Aaron Jordan's last game where we just got wiped off the floor. And that was just tough to see.
Which is not going to happen this year because we're going to win the Big Ten tournament and then we're going to the Final Four because optimism reigns supreme, Johnny. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up here. We will do this again next week. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
Thank you.
Iowa.